Good afternoon. We are continuing. This is our fourth class in our series, Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud, and Rav Kook. And today we're going to look at a very interesting, I think this is one of the most interesting teachings of Rav Kook, where he's dealing with the question, a very important question, which is one of the most controversial questions on the subject of, is the state of Israel today, is it part of Judaism, or is it just Jews? What I mean by that is like this. Everyone agrees Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Jews. We're talking specifically about the state, which means the state that's been established. Is it part of Torah and part of the Geula and all of that the way that Rav Kook obviously sees it? Or is it just a bunch of Jews who created a safe space where Jews could live, but Mashiach still has to come? Right, so this is part of that question. And one of the issues is, where are the miracles? Where are the miracles? Now, we know, obviously, if anyone knows stories, that there are plenty of stories of individual miracles. But in terms of the miracles like we saw, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki mei tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim arenu nifla'ot, I will show you miracles like Egypt. So where's the splitting of the sea? Where is the blood and the frogs and the lice and the wild animals? Right? That's the question. So this is used as a very strong argument by those who said that clearly the state is just a bunch of Jews living in a country, but it's not the establishment of a Torah, God-recognized statehood. Part of that proof is the fact that there are lacking miracles. So, Rav Kook...
But don't you say that there was a miracle in 1948 that 500,000 Jews won, millions of Arabs surrounding them?
Yeah, so we're going to see part of the problem. Part of the problem is we have to define what a nace is, right? But specifically what they're saying is not nisim like that. Ki meitzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim arenu niflaot. That's their question. Is that, like I said, you have individual miracles. You have stories plenty. You have stories that anyone who knows of how Tzfat, right, was conquered in with no weapons. Right, they had one noise making machine, and that's how they drove them off. One could say that's a nes too, right?
But nes yarad geshem mishamayim b'kait, ve'az em tofefu batupim, ve'aravim chashvu she.
Can. Yes,
aval
nes. Aval ze lo nes ki mitzetcha me'aretz Mitzrayim. And that's the question. What they wanted was mamash, like, you know, meteors should fall from the sky, there should be boils and darkness, you know, miracles, I would say, of biblical proportion. And that's part of the question. So that's what Rav Kook is going to address. Now, what's interesting is that when anyone else who reads this line in the Gemara, we're going to read it together, will never think that this Gemara is talking about the establishment of Medinat Yisrael, because it's all, from the first view, it's got no connection. And yet, Rav Kook, when he studied this seemingly unrelated Gemara, somehow saw in this the key as to how the Jewish people can acquire Eretz Yisrael. Right? Okay, so if you look at this, the story he's telling here is the story, let me say this outside first, the story of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was the king of, Yehuda, he was from Malchut Beit David. So in his days, the country was split between Yehuda Binyamin, who lived on the southern kingdom, and the Aseret HaShevatim, who lived in the northern kingdom. And in his days, Sancheriv came and took the Aseret HaShvatim and took them across the Sambat Yon. They're gone. We don't know where they are. Some people say that we do know where they are. Some people say we don't know where they are. Some people say they're coming back. Others say they don't. That's the Aseret HaShvatim, and that whole parsha is a whole separate discussion. But then Sancheriv came to besiege Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was the last stronghold. If he would have defeated Yerushalayim, he would have taken also Yehuda and Binyamin, and there would be no more Jewish people. The Talmud tells us that Chizkiyahu did nothing. They just prayed to God, they said to God, they didn't even fight back. And there was this great miracle, and in the middle of the night, it was Pesach night, the army was besieged. The Jewish people woke up in the morning, they looked out across the walls, and the entire army was dead. The entire army of Sancheriv. An angel came in the middle of the night and killed the entire army of the Assyrians, other than a few handfuls that were left over to remember the miracle. And we actually say this in the Piyutim on Pesach night, at the end when everyone is already half asleep. But if you look in those Piyutim at the end of the Haggadah, in it, it mentions the miracle of Sancheriv that occurred also on Pesach night. And that's in the Piyut, which is called Va'amartem Zevach Pesach, and also in the Piyut Vayehi B'Chatzi HaLaila. Anyway. Yes, the Sfaradim lo omrim et zeh. The Sfaradim don't say it. Okay. So, in Chizkiyahu's prayer, where he's praying for salvation, as you see, the Gemara quotes it, he says, Zechorna, please remember, Et asher hitalachti lefanecha, that I walked before you, be'emet, with truth, u'belev shalem, and with a complete heart. Please, Hashem, remember, right? If you know that Chizkiyahu was his father was Achaz, and Rav Kook is going to talk about it. But Achaz was a terrible, terrible Rasha, and did terrible things. And there were a lot of Malchei Yehuda who were terrible Rishaim. Yeah, just really, really bad. The Talmud in Sanhedrin records that there was almost a competition between the kings as to who can do more Averot, or worse Averot. But Chizkiyahu was an exception. And he was Mamash Tzadik. The Talmud says that he could have been Mashiach. Right? So, and he says, "V'hatov be'enecha asiti." I did what is tov be'enecha. I did what is good in your eyes. So please save me. Asks the Gemara, "My v'hatov be'enecha asiti." What does this mean? You did what is good in the eyes of God. So I would say, no, he kept Shabbat. He gave tzedakah. You know, whatever. He studied Torah all day. He brought karbonot in the Beit HaMikdash. You could give what you think. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Shesamach geula letefilah. That means, if you look in your morning tefilot, the bracha, the blessing that you make right before the Amidah is Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. And then you begin, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, Ufi Yagit El Atacha, Baruch Atah Hashem. So he, Chizkiyahu, made no pause. Ga'al Yisrael, Hashem Sabbatai Tiftach. He did not put a break between them. And because he did that, that's called V'hatov Be'enecha Asiti. And for that, he's asking God to be saved. Right? That sounds difficult, right? Why this little minor detail that he didn't put a pause between the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael and his tefillah, that's called V'hatov Be'enecha Asiti. That's difficult, right? That's what Rav Kook is going to be dealing with. But that's the first opinion. Rabbi Levi says another explanation. Sheganaz Sefer Refuot. That he concealed the Codex of Remedies. Meaning that in those days there was a book which had the refuah for every illness in the world. And Chizkiyahu saw that when somebody got sick, they would just look in the book and follow the instructions that the Codex gives, and they would be healed. And people weren't praying. So, Chizkiyahu hid away this book. And for that, he's saying to God, V'atov be'necha asiti, look what I did. I hid away all the medical books, and now no one knows how to heal, so they have to pray. How is this the greatest thing that Chizkiyahu... He was a king. He did so many great things. He spread the word of God throughout the land. In his days, everyone was learned. It was great. And this is what we say was the great Hatov Beinacha Asiti of Chizkiyahu. So Rav Kook is going to explain this to us and show us how, in these words of the Talmud, they're really talking about something much, much bigger. Okay, so I'm going to read to you what Rav Kook says. It's very long, so maybe I'll read it a little faster. But it's mamash, a beautiful analysis of, I always like when you see these statements in the Talmud, that you go, what does this mean? Like, what's the point of it? And then someone pulls out a deep understanding. So this is what he says. Darkei HaBitachon, this is from Rav Kook. Darkei HaBitachon, Hem shlemut ha'enushit. Bitachon, trust in God, is part of your shlemut, part of your completion. A person who's lacking trust in God isn't just lacking trust in God, but is lacking in themselves. Amnam hem nechlakim, but there's two kinds of bitachon. What are the two kinds of bitachon? We'll come back to the Talmud, but for now, let's just read the words of Rav Kook. Habitachon ha'pashut, The way most people have bitachon is im hashah tzricha lekach sheyaseh nes. We want God to do a miracle, perform a miracle for us, right? If somebody's chas v'shalom, someone's sick, and the doctors say that this is what's going to happen, so we ask God for a miracle. And you know what? Miracles happen, right? Sometimes a person comes to the doctor and the doctor says, "I don't understand, but it's all better." That's a nes. And we pray for a nes, either because the situation is so bad, o mitzad ha'adam ha'ma'ala sh'ra'u l'kach, and sometimes you just have a great person who deserves this kind. That's a kind of bitachon, that we trust in God that He will perform a miracle. Aval ha'bitachon ha'tmidi, that's not what you should be having bitachon all the time. That's like special cases or special people. The regular bitachon hu liot boteach b'Hashem shiyazrehu b'hishtadluto. Proper, regular, everyday bitachon is to believe that God should help me, not by doing it for me, but by helping me do what I need to do. So I go to work. I have to do something. So I ask God for help, and God supports me and gives me the strength and gives me the ideas and gives me... So that's bitachon. I trust in God. So when it comes to the Jewish people as a whole, matzinu stirot. Stirot is a Talmudic term for contradictions. Yeah, I don't know if today it means... Okay. Lepa'amim, sometimes, hishtadlut meshubachat. God says, I want you to put in all the efforts, I want you to do everything you can. U'mechuyevet. Ulepa'amim, and sometimes, tichashev chisaron. Sometimes, why are you putting in so much effort? L'mashal, let me give you an example. Matzinu b'melchemet ha'ai, with the city of Ai. When the Jewish people first came into Eretz Yisrael, with Yehoshua leading us, we came to Yericho, and then the second city which we conquered was the city of Ai. Hoita kula maleya hishtadlut al pi Hashem. We had to put in so much personal effort. Every Jew had to go to war. Everyone had to fight. Everyone had to sharpen their swords. Everyone go fight in the war. Ulu'umatze, v'melchemet Gideon, by the Melchama of Gideon in the Sefer Shoftim, Namalo, Hashem says, you have too many soldiers. Rav ha'am, it's too many people. Penit ba'er ala Yisrael le'mor yadi hoshiali. The Jewish people will say it's because we have a mighty army. So I want you to... A few hundred men fought the Midian. Why? Not because they didn't have more soldiers, but because God said, I want you... Right now, it's too big of an army. And the people are going to say, it's because we're such mighty warriors that we won. I want you to diminish the thousand army of thousands and thousands to just a few hundred, so that everybody knows it's a miracle. And yet to lessen his natural hishtadlut input. So it's a contradiction. Which one? are we supposed to do as much ishtadlut as possible? We're not talking about the individual here. We're talking about when the Jewish people have something. You could see where Rav Kook is going, right? Are we supposed to do everything we can? In other words, in Rav Kook's world, this would have meant we have to go get guns, we have to get weapons from, right? In 1948, when they had to ship weapons from all over the world, Jews sent whatever they could, and it was all secret, and they had underground weapon production factories. Everyone knows these stories. That's Hishtadlut Tivit.
But they have only four airplanes, but they wrote on them 400 the number.
Yeah. But that's also Hishtadlut Tivit, right? Because part of the Jews' weapons is his brain, right? And part of the other side was their stupidity, right? That it goes together, right? So what's the answer? Which one is it? V'hadvarim nikarim, says Rav Kook, it's clear to me. Shetalu b'matzav ha-mosari shel ha'am. It depends where the people are. Depends on the spiritual state of the people. Shetachlit kol sivuv hanaga kula. The point is to lead to one goal. Lahavi et or da'at Hashem b'milua l'olam. To bring the light of God to the world. But it can't always use the same method of bringing the light of God. Right? He says we have to bring the light of God. Leman yimshchu mizeh kol atovot azmaniyot vanitzchiyot, all of the good, short-term good and the long-term good, hanimshachot midiat Hashem lamitata, which comes from knowing God. The purpose of anything which Klal Yisrael does as a whole is to bring us closer to God. But it depends on where you are right now and how you come close. Right? If I see a person who's a complete stranger. And I want to become friends with them. So the first thing I have to do is I have to introduce myself. Hello, my name is this and this. Where are you from? What? If I would go to my best friend and say, hello, my name is this and this. Where are you from? They look at me like I'm crazy. Right? The different relationships that you're trying to establish have to be done differently. V'hine. Kesha'adam o ha'am b'chlalo omed v'matzav musari gavoa. When a person or the people are on a very high level, just sometimes the Jewish people are in a very high state. Az halo mian haga hativit sheholechet achuza im sidrei hachaim ha'anushim, then the way to run the world is through nature. Meaning, yakir biyoter yad Hashem, when someone's on a very high level, he can see the hands of God in everything. If a person has a job, 9 to 5, and every day they work hard, but that morning they pray really well, and their tefillot, it just goes. Then they show up at work, and everything is smooth. They submit the paperwork, and they accept it, and then someone comes around, they have a birthday, and they give out free donuts. It's just one of those days that's going. The person realizes, I did tefillah this morning, and it was a good tefillah, and I had a good day. And so you feel the Yad Hashem in your experience, without anything strange happening. You can feel it, because you're connected.
יש אנשים שאין להם שום אמונה, אז אתה שומע על אפסטיין, ואחרי זה אתה רואה את זה, ועכשיו על סם בנקמן פריד, שבגללו, וזה גורם לאנטישמיות.
כן,
ב-85 היה פוירסטיין, שהיה לו מפעל שנשרף, הוא יכול היה לקבל ביליון דולר מהביטוח. זה היה שבועיים לפני קריסמס. או לבנות מפעל קטן ולהרוויח. והוא בא ואמר, עובדים, אני למדתי בתורה, כבד כל אדם, אני לא זוכר את המשפט, הוא ידע את זה, אני למדתי בחדר, אתם תקבלו את כל המשכורות שלכם.
כן, שמעתי את הסיפור.
אז הוא היה בן תורה, והוא עשה, וזה היה קידוש השם, והיום רואים מה שעושים אנשים.
כן, אבל זה מדבר מבחוץ. הוא עכשיו מדבר, I'm sorry, it's English. Right, that's more in terms of, you know, the Jews versus the nations of the world. And you're right, that's a part of it. He's speaking within the Jewish people themselves. Right? When we are doing all the right thing, then we can experience our success as divine intervention. Right? So he quotes a fascinating run. The Ran was one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Nisim, referred to as the Ran. takes a pasuk in the Torah and reads it almost the opposite of the way that we usually read it. Al pasuk, it says, "Va'amarta bilvavcha." You will say in your heart, "Kochi va'otzem yadi asali et ha'chayel hazeh." It's my strength and my power that acquired all this wealth from me. And the Torah tells you, no, "Bezacharta et Hashem lekacha." You should remember God, "Ki hu anuten lecha koach nasot chayel." God gives you strength to acquire wealth. So the Ran explains, "Shehid bonen ha'adam," when the person realizes, "Ki achayim hativiim v'chol mesibotehem," even your natural life and everything that's connected to it, "Hakol aruchim et Hashem yidbarach," it's all arranged by Hashem, "letachlit hanisgava shel hashlemut ha'anushit," all for our perfection and our completion, "Hine yoter yakir et kano k'shemaspik lo tzerachav b'derachim tiviyim," you have a greater connection to God when He provides you with your natural support. "Shitzarich hazeh yishtadlut rabah," when you have to work, "mitzido b'chokhma b'dat b'koach gufni v'nafshi," I have to put in physical and spiritual and intellectual and emotional and body and soul into it, I actually feel better. I mean, let's ask the following question, which is really what he's getting into. If you came to a person and you said to him, "Here, I give you two options. Here is a job that you will have, which you will work from the age of 18 until the age of 65, and you will make every year, for those 47 years, $47 million. And then whatever you save, you will have a retirement, $47 million over many years. You can invest and do things. You'll be fine all your life. Or, at the age of 18, we will give you a lottery ticket and you will win $47 million. So most lazy people and most people would say, "Yeah, give me the $47 million. Why should I spend the next 47 years working?" But he says someone who's on a high level realizes that this money that I get winning the lottery, it won't mean anything to me. I'll spend it meaninglessly. It won't go, right? But if you work all your life, you feel good about it. The money means something. It feels like it's yours. You worked for it. You earned it. He says that's actually a higher way of living, and you'll feel more connected to God when you work and your money comes every year, year after year, and your investments, they work. You'll actually feel closer to God than if, you know, He gives you the lottery ticket. He says, "V'nei yad Hashem ito," because the hand of God is with you. "Al kol prat mi prate tenuata v'yemino tisadehu," God is supporting you on the right side, "halo yitkarev yoter b'ze el tzior ha'shlemut," you will become a better person, "mi'ilu yaseh lo nes b'pam achat," than if one miracle occurs, "lahamtzi lo machsorah," to provide what you need. Okay, now Amar, that's what it means. "V'amarta b'lvavcha kochi va'otzem yadi," which we usually read as a negative, he's reading it as a positive. He's saying, "No, v'amarta b'lvavcha," say to yourself, "Kochi va'otzem yadi," I want to work for it. You see how he's turning the pasuk around. "U'b'tzayarcha b'avana amitit kama koach v'kama otzem yad tzarech ad k'dei lavo l'idei chay hazeh," when you realize, how much work do I need? And when you realize how everything could go wrong at any time, and yet God supports you, "L'chol tnu akala ezrat Hashem derusha az aydei imashech ma'ashama v'zacharet et Hashem lekechu ki anoten lecha koach lasut chayil." Then you will remember that it's God who's providing you with the support. Amnam, however, "b'nefol ha'am imalato," when the people fall from the high place, "v'nishka b'havlei achomer," and they become embedded in materialism, "v'et po'al Hashem lo yabit," and they don't look at God's actions, when people stop seeing God in the world, "az b'harboto ishtadlut," when I put in more effort, "lo yakir klal yad Hashem," I'm not going to see God in this, "v'yomer," he'll say, "ki yadi hoshia li," we will say, right? Someone who's not connected to God already, when they find, they work hard and they get success, what do they say? "I'm so smart, I'm so brilliant, I'm so successful, I'm so capable." So the person, it's not enough for him, if it's nature, to bring him to completion. Then God says, okay, I have to give you miracles. That's why he says, says when God first appears to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, it says, Ki nar Yisrael v'ohavehu. That's a pasuk in Hosea. The Jewish people were like a child. Avat anar v'hayeled. When you love a child, he anaga kazot, shelagadol eno b'chlal anagat ahava. You have to treat children differently than you would treat an adult. What's considered an act of love towards a child is not an act of love towards an adult. Lamashal, let's take for example. Avat anar, if you love a baby, how do you show you love the baby? Tiekishiten aviv machsoro mishalo, when the father provides for him. A child, the love the father shows is by giving to the child. Right? But when you have an adult, if you just keep giving, that's not always an act of love. Right? Vishal yeladakatan, if the child is an even bigger child, meaning a younger child, which also means bigger child, right? Tia kishiyiten gamken letoch piv, then mamash, you have to put the food into their mouth. Right? If you go to the baby and you put the applesauce in front of the baby, nothing is going to end up inside. So if you really love the child, you will mamash spoon feed the baby. You make noises like trains and airplanes, because what would happen if you would do that to an adult? That's not an act of love. Shel agadol, if you an adult, tia ha'ahava, the real love, is to provide them an opportunity to earn. Because everybody wants to earn. People want to be deserving. People want to be entitled. So he says, when the Jewish people were in Egypt, we as a people were babies. We were, individually, we were adults. But as a nation, we were babies. And so God needed to give us miracles, because that's what we needed then. And so the miracles showed us, yes, there is a God, and God is close to you, and God cares about you. But that wouldn't have happened if it would have been nature. So if Moshe would have shown up, and he would have had everyone dig a tunnel under the ground and escaped outside, then we would have been a miracle that we got away, and then we would have run and put up a big wall, and the Egyptians would have been stuck behind the wall, all nature, we would have said, this is us. We are strong. We wouldn't have seen God. So God said, no, I'm going to make them go to the sea. And then they'll be at the sea. What are we supposed to do? Egyptians here, the sea is there, and then God splits the sea. We go, okay, we get you, you're here. But when the Jewish people already understand God, as tov ma'od, it's much better, it should be the type of God should run the world in a way that gives us more strength, where we work on ourselves, ba'ramat karno, uplifting our stage, b'chala pratim, ha'chamarim v'amusarim, physically and spiritually, p'nei sheyuchal lishov da'at et Hashem mikor ha'teva hatmidi, because once you connect it to God, and God doesn't need the miracles. On the contrary, miracles make me feel bad, because miracles mean I didn't deserve it, I didn't do anything. I want that I should work for it.
So I guess now we are more mature, so we don't...
Well, you're already seeing what he's saying. So it's still miracles, but it's not miracles of splitting of the sea. It's the miracles that we need in our generation for us to realize that it's God and not us, but we don't need that kind of miracle. That's what he's saying. So he says, "Su'u marom anechem ru'u mi bara ele." So he says, you can look around the creation. And you can look at if you're connected to God, then when you see a mountain, you go, my goodness, look how amazing it is what God created. If you don't believe in God, then you look at a mountain and you say, look, here's an accident of explosion of rocks. Right? So he says, Al-Kain, b'muhammad aha'ai, when we were in Ai, shikvar ho yisra melumadim benisim, we just came off of 40 years of man, falling from the sky every day. We knew there was a God. V'dat Hashem et krova lilavavan, and God was close to our hearts, haya davar tov v'shleimut b'ma she'asku hem atzman b'atzlachatam. So God says, I want you to work, go fight. Everyone, put in your effort, and then you'll feel like Eretz Yisrael is yours. Because it wasn't just God sending down meteors and destroying the enemies. I fought this with my hands, with my sweat and tears, right? You see, clearly, again, I want to remind you, Rav Kook is writing this before any of the wars, right? But he's already understanding at this point. See, because sometimes when someone's writing after, it feels like he's writing this before. He's saying,
wrote it before we came to Israel.
Right. So he's saying that you don't need that. Because it's much better for you if you accomplish your success. As I heard from in the writings of Reb Sadia Gaon, that if it was a proper thing that you couldn't become the best you without effort. In other words, like this. If you look at this, if let's say, for example, other nations. Let's not pick on the. Let's take, for example, the Christians. Right? In the Christian world, what do you have to do? What effort do you have to make to acquire heaven? Nothing. You have to believe. That's it. You have to. So says Reb Sadia Gaon, he says, then why did God make a world of so much effort? Why did God make a world where you have to work so hard, where in order to acquire Olam Haba, there's no effort required? So then what's the point of effort in this world? What's the point of struggle? He says, clearly, from the fact that you have to struggle to be good, you have to struggle to be a great person, for you to overcome your obstacles and your challenges is difficult. That shows you that to become and to acquire, it's difficult. You have to work hard. Amnam, however, b'mei Gideon, in the days of Gideon, she'yarad ha'am pla'im b'matzavo haruchani v'shachach kel moshio. When the people fell, and if you know the story of Shoftim, the Jewish people fell into Avodah Zarah, into, right? Lo hayta hanagah tivit lishuatom aviyah lamatara. If 10,000 soldiers would have gone to war, the people would have said, we're great soldiers. Akin hayitzarich lamayit bishtadlut tivit. You have to diminish the numbers. Ukibir apasuk penit ba'er ala Yisrael lemor yadi hoshiali. So, now he brings it back to Chizkiyahu. Now we understand. Achaz is the father of Chizkiyahu, who's a terrible person. Achaz worked so hard to erase God and the Torah from the Jewish people. Matzah, then Chizkiyahu understood. Even though, yes, it would be nice for us to go to war and fight, but if we win, even if it's 100,000 against a million, if we win, people will say, we're smarter, we're stronger, we're more skilled, we're more talented. Hazman grama, so the time was appropriate. Lahanhig shiyakola bitochon al Hashem yitbarach ki lo yitosh atamo. He said to the people, nobody fight. No one do anything. Just pray. And they said, how's that going to happen? He said, just pray. He wanted the people to connect to God. Akein, b'mapalato shal sancheriv amar, this is what he said, ani ein bi koach lo lidor v'lo laharog, ani yashen al mitati v'ata oseh. He said to God, I'm going to go to sleep. You take care of them. And the whole Jewish people, there was the entire Assyrian army is surrounding Yerushalayim, and everyone's sleeping. Why? Because Chizkiyahu said, "Bitachon, trust in God." Umeniyah takoach, hayta meniyah shel koach musari shebechal Yisrael be'etahi, holding back our individual strength. Shlo yasik tachlito ki im aydei neis galui. They needed open miracles. Shel meniat kol ishtadlut, with no effort involved. Okay, that's Chizkiyahu, and that's why Chizkiyahu did nothing. V'hine gulatan shel Yisrael b'chol dor be'et tzaratam And he says, V'chein ha-ge'ula ha-atida, the future redemption. Again, he's in Eastern Europe, right? Efshur hishetia ha-tchalata b'nisim v'niflaot ki meitzeitcha me'aretz Mitzrayim. It could be that the ge'ula acharona will be wonders, like the pasuk says, ki meitzeitcha eretz Mitzrayim arenu niflaot, right? That's a pasuk in Micha. That's possible. Or it could be natural. There's different places, as Yerushalmi and Brachot, there's different places that suggest that the Geula Acharona maybe will be tivit, will be natural. And he's addressing, obviously, the critics of his approach, because he understood that that the process of the establishment of the state, the term used today is Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu, right, which is itself a controversial term even within the prayer. But again, Rav Kook certainly felt that this was Atchalta de Geula, the beginning of the redemption. So he said it could be natural. Shetia Hatzlachatan Shel Yisrael Kim'ah Kim'ah, that our success will be a little bit at a time. Lufid Varenu, in my opinion, according to my words, Hadavar Talui b'matzavan shal Yisrael ruchani, it depends where the Jewish people will be, spiritually speaking. Kibiotenu dveikim b'yirat Hashem, if we are connected to the fear of God, b'shmirat ha-mitzvot v'talmud Torah, shimze yityashru ha-midot, this will make us good people. V'noam ha-amuna, we will have strong amuna, v'dat Hashem yimaleh et ha-lev, Azu shleimut gedola, then it will be better. Shleimut gedola techashev. Mi anachnu oskim b'mitzvazu shel haramat keren Yisrael. Then we don't want miracles. We want God to help us fight a regular military battle, and we should see the hand of God in that battle. Ubevaday tiferet gedola v'hadar leumihu lanu. And what a beautiful glory it will be. Biotenu anachnu haasukim bebinyan bayit Yisrael, or Beit Yisrael. Mitzad shlemutenu halu'umit, because we have a national high level, shenemshechet mizeh, v'shlemut ha'olam kulo, and then we will bring elevation to the whole world. Amnam, however, im matzav Yisrael u'b'shafal, b'shafel b'yotam rechokim mitorah, u'midat Hashem, if we're distant from Torah, ein ha'tachlit nimtzeit ha'idei gula tivit klal, then if there's a natural thing, people will say, the Jews are just good soldiers. Then even in the beginning we will need real miracles. Nature won't work. It will actually make the Jewish people worse, because if they need miracles and we don't get miracles, then we will say, oh no, we don't need God. We did this by ourselves because we're such great warriors and such great soldiers. Now he's going to come back to.
זה מה שקרה בישראל, אמר פרופסור ישעיהו ליבוביץ, שאחרי ששת הימים, פתאום הייתה כזאת הרגשה שאנחנו מנצחים ואנחנו הכי גדולים, ולא צריך את אלוקים כדי לעבוד, ואז מה קרה?
יום כיפור, right.
שאיבדנו כל כך הרבה אנשים, ועד היום מישהו שואל, מספר לילדה שלו, את יודעת, צהל הרס את עזה, אז היה לנו במבצע עופרת יצוקה. ומה קרה? אחרי זה היה לנו צוק איתן. ומה קרה? הנה, עכשיו יש לנו מבצע אחרי מבצע, כן. ואנחנו לא מנצחים.
Right? So what you're saying, it ממש reads in the words of Rav Kook, right? that what he's saying is that the nature of the miracles we will experience are directly dependent on where we are spiritually speaking. And if we're on a high level, then we don't need those miracles, then God will allow the nature to have. But if nature comes when we're not on that level, then yeah, it's going to turn into, as you're describing, that this kind of, our spiritual state will be worse despite our success. So you see that all the religious Zionists, after the Six-Day War, which is what you're citing, they turned to Yisrael, B'tach B'Hashem, whatever, but there was such a powerful motion of Kochi V'otzem Yadi, right, or the language used by Gideon, which is Pen yitpa'er ala Yisrael lemor yadi hoshiali. It's my hand, right? So then what happens is, right? Bad things, Yom Kippur, the war of Yom Kippur, right?
So, right.
Okay, so now, that's Rav Kook's opinion on how miracles work. And now he's going to show us how this is concealed in the words of the Talmud which we read. Right? That's really the brilliance of Rav Kook. Why do we put Geula together with Tefillah? When we say Ga'al Yisrael, we immediately start Tefillah. Tilamdenu ki Geulatenu tavo rak miyad Hashem. That's to remind us, Baruch Ata Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, Hashem Tzvasai Tiftach, means only God can save us. V'aleinu ladat zot, mifnei shidiyat Hashem nisgava haba min ha-Geula, ki anekuda ha-tachlitit shela. Because the purpose of Geula is not so we should be free, it's so that we are connected to God. If we can recognize that the Geula comes from the Tefillah, so he says, when we are on a high level, and so in our heads we keep Geula and Tefillah together, means it's a metaphor, not because you didn't make a pause. It means in your head there's no pause. You see no separation between the geula that the Jewish people experienced and the tefillah which you prayed. That's why he says, "Geula smucha bedaatenu letefillah." Kamoshi be'emet gam biyota bedarkei ateva bishtadlutenu. Then that's true, even if it's nature. Aval beheshafel matzavenu ba'avonenu. But when we lower ourselves, v'richukenu me'ashlamat me'ashlemut shel da'at Hashem, az ein ha'geula smucha lefi archeinu l'tfila, then we don't see the geula connected to our tfila, rak biyota b'derech neis, only if we see a miracle. Haken Chizkiyo ishtadeh la'asut ha'tov b'enei Hashem. So Chizkiyo said, I did what is tov b'enecha. Ta'inu ma'ashemapik ha'tachlut ha'musarit, meaning I reached this high level. Meaning he put together geula tefila. So in those days, the connection of geula l'tfila was so needed that people should see that it came from God. He had to make it even closer by saying no ishtadlut. We will do nothing. We will just leave it to God. And he reached this high level of bitachon. He went to sleep when the army was outside and woke up in the morning and they were all dead. The Rabbi Levi Mosif, so the second opinion says, not just on a national level, which maybe is part of the issue here, especially in the terms of the state of Israel today, is that there's a difference between the national level and the individual. Okay? So he says, "Ki im gam b'matzav ha'chayim ha'pratiyim," even in terms of the individual, "Hishtadel la'hashlim et ha'chisaron ha'ikari shel ha'itrachakut midat et Hashem," he realized that you can't just establish a kiruv for the whole nation as a whole without directing yourself to the individual. But he hid all the books of all the remedies that you can heal people. And Rashi explains, so people will pray. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. And the Rambam says, it can't be that we hid a book with all the medicines. The Rambam was, of course, a doctor, right? So he says, following instructions for how to heal people, that's not lacking in bitachon. On the contrary, in other words, if you study medicine, studying medicine shouldn't take you away from God, says the Rambam. Studying medicine brings you closer to God. Here is this disease, right? You have a headache. Or a person has high blood pressure. And so if you go to the bark of this tree and you take out this and you get an aspirin, right, that will thin your blood. And now, what? That makes sense to you? That's natural? That's a miracle. But you have to see the miracle. But again, Rav Kook is bringing us back to this place. But he saw that the people were on a very low level, because Achaz had taken the Jewish people down. He understood people will benefit more if they will turn to miracles. If instead of medicine, right, that's what he's saying, when someone is sick. So yes, if you are on a spiritual level where you can recognize God in the medicine, then God will let you be healed in the medicine. But Chizkiyahu understood that because the place where people were, when they see the medicine, they go, God, we don't need you because we have medicines. So he understood that the person is healing their body, but that's making their soul sick. And so to heal their soul, Rafuat Cholim et Hashem Aide Tfila, Mimashi Yafsid Mechisaron Achipus Bidarkea Rafuat Tivim. Now that we don't have this book that has in it all the remedies for all the illnesses, Alken Zehu Atov Be'ene Hashem. So Rav Kook is saying that Chizkiyahu seeing this and saying, Hatov Be'enecha Asiti, I did what's good in your eyes, because I know what you wanted, God. You wanted the Jewish people to see that you are saving them. And right now I look at the people and they can't see God in the medicine. So therefore, you obviously want us to heal everyone with a miracle. So he's saying, no, pray, let God heal you with miracles. So the people know to come back to God. Until they're elevated. Then, when they realize that even nature is the hand of God. Rav Kook finishes this Torah like this. If we will be meritorious, lefiza, tuchal liot mitzidenu ha-geula tivit uba aidei ishtadlutenu. I don't want miracles, says Rav Kook. We don't want miracles when the geula, the future geula, comes. On the contrary, we want us to be on a spiritually high state, and we want that we should do regular human ishtadlut, and we should succeed in our hishtadlut, and we will find God in our own efforts, because that's a higher level. What about miracles? It says in the Navi that there will be miracles. No. V'hanisim yavau al kalpanim l'ashlamata anushiyut arachoka b'chlala midat Hashem. For the non-religious, they will need miracles. They won't see God in the hand of God in regular war. So for them, there will be miracles. But he says, for me, I want to see this happen in a natural way. Terem tigal Allah hanisiyut, before their miracles will happen. Or, he says, even for us, gam lahashlim otanu b'mala yoter gavoa v'nichpada, we can have miracles too. But this search for miracles, and this definition that Mashiach is specifically through supernatural miracles, he says, yes, that's an option, and that maybe will be for the people who are not religious, or maybe on a later stage when we need it. But that's actually not what the Geula HaAtidah looks like. The Geula HaAtidah looks like human hishtadlut. That's Rav Kook's Torah.
That's why he recommends to go to Israel.
Right, so he's saying, while everyone else is saying, we're waiting for the shofar gadol, for Mashiach to come with a cloud in the clouds of the sky to come down. And there are still people who, again, the opponents of Rav Kook would strongly disagree with everything I just read, right? They would say, no. It says in the Navi, Ki Metzetcha Meretz Mitzrayim Arenu Niflaot, that's what we pray for, and that's what we're waiting for. But clearly, Rav Kook is of the opinion that that's actually a lower level of observance of Torah. A lower level. Not a higher level, which is what we think, that hoping for miracles is high. He said it's a lower level. You need miracles. So you need miracles, wait for the miracles, right? And maybe that's also what he means, that there will be miracles for those people. But the primary way, and he's seeing this in Chizkiyahu, if Chizkiyahu said, Atov Be'enecha Asiti, meaning, I saw how low the people were, so I turned to miracles. But the Geula HaAtidah doesn't have to happen that way. And that's this Torah of Rav Kook. So, Again, you see, I want you to realize how far he went. From the simple Torah, where Chizkiyahu says, Atov ve'enecha asiti, one opinion is that he was somech geula l'tfilah, and the other opinion was that he hid the book of Refuot. Most people read this, they go, okay, moving on, some event in history that I don't understand. Rav Kook sees in these words of the Talmud, he goes, one second, that's Chizkiyahu's great Atov ve'enecha asiti? That he didn't make a pause between geula and tfilah? So Rav Kook realizes, no, this is information for how we should approach the Geula Atida, the future redemption. That's how he's seeing this. And so he says, Geula L'Tfila means in my head, that the best way is to be Somech Geula L'Tfila, where I can in a natural way see the Geula, the redemption come from God. And even more so, to hide the Sefer Refuot is for the next level, for the people who need miracles. But Rav Kook sees in this clue about how we are to approach the future redemption differently than everyone else who's waiting for miracles. He says, don't wait for miracles. Do it yourself. Gather together. Put in your best efforts. And then when you succeed, you'll find God's hand in our Hishtadlut Tiviyat. All right, thank you.